you can't be actually on?
I can't. We're not actually on the planet because I had dropped the line, giving them plenty of time to go into a top of the RID or whatever the fuck they do. You know,
we gave them 30 seconds for a
right.
break, too.
We have provided the planet. Well, I have provided the planet with literally dozens of jingles and IDs they could use that they never fucking use. I think they're using the same stock. I mean, great top of the R, but the same one I purchased for them, what, almost 8 fucking years ago?
I don't
ago?
Think they use it. I don't even, I'm not listening to the station that much anymore, if at all.
Outside of the programming provided by a couple of friends of ours that are indeed more than worthy of your time, now I can say this now that we're on the internet. How many programs of merit, meaning programs that people should go out of their way to hear, are there on the planet? I don't know, because a lot of time I turn them on, they are these World of Coin shows or religious-oriented shows or truly atmospheric, Trekkle. I mean amateur. Should I say atmospheric?
Yeah. Well, you know, Larry's on now, and Larry's got a station which is running 24/7, of course. On the
internet, courtesy of johnlightning.com, and
so
courtesy in part of Larry, because without you and Larry, there wouldn't be a johnlightning.com.
Right. So, I mean, I listen to him as I check. I check, the server every day, listen at least twice, go for like 5-10 minutes apiece, making sure everything's working a couple of times a day, and sometimes you find
lifeless and clueless. How do you go on?
No, well, first of all, the whole thing dropped dead last week, and everything was going sputter. I couldn't let that happen. I don't know how long that was going on.
Might have been going on for days as often as I check in, because for me, it's like, God, I have to listen to this shit.
Yeah, especially your own shit. That's why. Which, of course,
I get to hear it the first time. That's more than enough for me. For the rest of you out there that are looking for brilliant, entertaining programming, well, this is it.
A lot of other stations running on johnlightning.com, where you can listen to my show. You can listen to John repeat 24/7, Monday through Friday.
Over and over again. How lovely. You turn friends onto it. You know, go over a friend's house, get on their computer and say, hey, I want you to listen to something.
And as a matter of fact, I was checking to see who was listening, and they're like with people in Washington, D.C., actually listening to the show. So I'm saying, oh, my God, you're finally getting home there.
Yeah, you never know who might be listening. Might be trying to shut us down next. Because one of the stories I didn't get to on the supposedly real radio show this evening, and something I'm frankly, search for the right word, skittish. I know, not only horses get skittish, air personalities over there. I'm a little skittish about discussing certain things on the air. Well, okay, here it really doesn't matter that much, but if I was on a real big-time 50,000-powerful-watt radio station, there were some things I wouldn't discuss, such as the fact that most all of us who download from the internet are engaging in some form of piracy with thieves. Yeah, we're not into pirate radio anymore, but we pirate movies and TV shows and music. No, some people even pirate software and other things. You don't think you are? Well, I'm not using a peer-to-peer service like one of them there Napster things or something. Doesn't matter. So you're using the news groups? You know, I've been saying for the longest time, how come they never come down on the news groups? How come news groups seem to have some kind of immunity? Because they really don't. If you download music or movies from a news group, it's no less legal. You are still securing for yourself cost-free copyrighted material. Well, here's an item this week. Little used corner of net becomes piracy battlefield. An obscure data network technology called the Usenet, also known as user groups, has become the newest battleground between the entertainment industry and the digital music and movie pirates. There's some lunch people there. Late last month, the Motion Picture Association of America filed its first ever lawsuits against internet companies that archive this material that help people download illegally copied films over the Usenet. Now, among the three companies that were sued, that were issued papers in the first round, I would say, of such lawsuits, my server's Easy News was not among them. However, should the industry have success with the three that they are trying to round up and prosecute in this initial wave, how long before the industry comes after all the others. And it's a legitimate fear. I've been saying to friends of mine for the longest time, get in there and download all the shit you want now. I know, it sounds like I'm encouraging. See, and I don't know that I could do this on a so-called license email on WBCQ. Am I committing a crime by telling people, get in there now and download as much stuff as you can? Because if they do take it all away, you're going to be mighty happy then that you have thousands of discs worth of stuff to keep you for the rest of your unnatural life.
You realize the Usenet was the one of the original purposes of the internet.
That's right. But and originally it was meant mainly for the transmission of text and whatnot. It was not supposed to be, or initially the technology wasn't in place to make it a source of music and moving data.
Well, the point is, that it was there to carry binary files. If you convert that stuff into a certain format that can be carried by the Usenet, then, it's there for the taking. The thing was is that as commercial users came in, they wanted you to use their services, so they ignored Usenet. That didn't mean it didn't grow, but just most people who use the internet didn't know it was there.
Well, here's the problem with it. Most people still don't know it's there compared to those so-called peer-to-peer services that continue to get shut down. I think WinMX and another one bought it recently. But The real problem with it is that the information is not kept long. It's there one day and it's gone the next. Unless you engage the services of a company that does archive this material.
Right.
Now the key thing about it is, see, when you use these so-called peer-to-peer networks where you connect your computer to somebody else's to download stuff from them. First of all, downloading from somebody else's computer is going to be slower than using one of these services because generally they don't have the same high-speed service that a internet service provider, a big server, has.
Right.
The other key thing is, see, when you're using the peer-to-peer service, it makes it easy for those people that want to sue you. They could also use that same service, log into that service, connect to your computer, and once they do, they have your IP address. And they could take legal action using that IP address to get your personal information from that server, track you down, and sue you. Using that services, that's not possible because there's not that peer-to-peer connection. They are not connecting directly to your computer, so they don't know who the fuck you are. The other key thing about the Usenet is that, of course, is that the files, large files, are broken down into multiple files. And only people who are somewhat more, shall we say, a little bit more internet savvy know the whole procedure of grabbing all these parts and having the programs to decompress them and stitch them all together to make for complete movies and all that. So it's nowhere near as user-friendly as peer-to-peer services.
Well, you're using Easy News, so that does it all for
you. Right. They stitch all the parts together for me. Thank you. Love you.
Yeah. But if I was going to post them, and I'll do it native to what the Usenet is, I'm going to take my MP3 file, I'm going to put it through a thing, and I'm going to say, limit my messages. So it may break it down to 5, 10, 12, depending on the length of the song, that or number of bytes, to so many messages. All right? So what you've got to do is that when they go out, and you use a common thing like Outlook Express, you see all the parts. You have to take them all, download them all, combine them all.
Yes.
There are other places that use that. But now, wait a minute. When you do a video, not only are you making so many messages into a part, you're putting multiple parts. So you can have a 1,000 short messages for one movie.
I understand. And if it's a large bandwidth file of high-definition TV stuff, it could take many hours, even with a super high-speed line. And I don't know what that would be these days. I find, for example, I now have a cable modem on one of my computers, and it's supposedly super high-speed, which actually I've found it's capped, and not necessarily by the service provider. I have found that at the service I use, Easy News, seems to cap its outgoing its downloading capability. In other words, I can't download anything from that service at speeds much greater than maybe 800 kilobytes a second. Now, let me tell you, that's pretty fucking quick.
Yeah.
Because back in the old days when all I had was a telephone modem, I was downloading music at a fantastically high speed of 5 kilobytes a second. Not 805, 5. It would, I mean, forget about downloading a movie. It would take most of the day. Now, the average movie, a movie that's been compressed to fit on a standard size CD, meaning about 700 megabytes, on the average, I can download that in 12 to 15 minutes. A full movie in 12 to 15 minutes. Not, of course, that I do download any of those things. It's possible to. I have test downloaded such movies, and then, of course, immediately erased them from my file system without watching them. But it is possible to download such files in 12 to 15 minutes with a super high-speed line. Think about that. I've said, of course, only jokingly, that I have downloaded entire TV shows off the Usenet, or off of the user groups, to watch rather than allowing me to, if I wanted to, watch them on my own time rather than having to watch them when the network's presented to me. And not only that, of course, as we mentioned last week, when you watch them that way, the commercials have been excised from them. That's right. The way to go. And you can truly watch it on your own time.
You know what? I'm in,
and they look great.
Yeah, I've been taking this British show from... somebody's putting it on the news groups from BBC One, and you know...
Well, wait a minute. If it's on BBC One, that means is it on BBC America?
No.
Well, then you couldn't watch it otherwise. How fortunate.
No. During the summer, they'll have it on during the summer.
Oh, later, like they did with a lot of shows like The Office, which originally started there. And what's that show that was on? There was a show I get to interrupt because, like, I'm John Lightning.
But you got it wrong. I'm talking about the original show, not a remade show like The Office.
Well, I wasn't. There was this show on HBO a couple of months ago that they started showing that was originally on HBO like a year before. I've forgotten the name of it now.
Yeah. No, but this show I'm watching, I saw it.
Oh, it was the one about the extras. That was the name of the show, Extras.
Yeah. Well, I started.
Good show, by
the way. I started watching this thing last summer on BBC America, and it's like right up my alley, you know? Cop in 2006 gets hit by a car, wakes up in 1973. All right, you know.
What would you expect from this old?
Well, it's a Twilight Zone type show.
Yeah.
Right. But it's really a crime show set in that period with the way law enforcement worked by the way of the fist.
All right, we don't want to know all about the show.
But anyway.
Hey, do you realize already we missed the premiere episode of the final run of The Sopranos tonight? Oh.
Well, you can tape that thing off the net tomorrow.
No. HBO On Demand, baby. We're moving on.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you see, I taped the first season of that show On Demand.
And you know it's going to be on the internet by tomorrow anyway.
Yeah. But get a load of this. By taking it off the BBC, one, American shows, 44 and a half minutes for every hour.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Right.
Okay? On BBC America, it was maybe about 2 minutes longer. On BBC On Demand, about 51 minutes. Off BBC itself, 57 minutes.
Good Lord, they're editing out quite a bit of content.
There is no commercials at all, and no bugs on the screen, and no ads on the screen on the BBC.
Oh, I see. That to me, that is key.
I hate
that stuff. I was having a conversation with somebody early in the week where we were discussing the possibility of literally a type of high-def TV that people would pay for. For example, we were talking about sporting events, and I posited the following opinion that I think more people... then would admit to it because they don't want to pay for something if they don't have to, would be willing to pay for, say, for example, Yankee games if they knew they were going to get, say, a dollar or two per game, if they were going to get it in their home, high def, without the bugs and all the shit on the TV and without commercial interruption between innings. Would it not be worth a dollar or two per game if you really like your team to be able to watch it as though you were there without having to be there? If there was a game I really wanted to see, I'd pay the money. Damn right I would.
No,
what about you, big guy?
It would cost more. You know why? Because without the commercials, those announcers would have to talk, which means you got to pay them to talk.
Well, somebody pointed out to me the other day, I believe it was my old buddy Dave, back when cable TV first began on the local cable networks before there were commercials, when they cut away, you just heard the announcers talking amongst themselves between innings. And you know what? You don't even need that. Kill their mics, leave on the crowd mics, and it'll really make you feel as though you're at the ballpark, which also means, by the way, you will get to hear the commercials they're playing on the PA in the ballpark.
Yeah,
but
right.
Still, it's just like being there. Mike, would you, assuming you're able to afford it, and it was an important game and all that, would you shell out a buck or two a game to watch it high def under those circumstances?
Under those circumstances.
See what I mean?
And nobody says that they have to have the mics on with the announcers talking. They can just shut them
right
off. And when they're ready to come back, you know, they'll get a little signal.
I think that's what I just
said. Yeah,
well,
so.
He's
not paying attention. You know, he's got the phone
usual,
in his ear, you know.
He doesn't pay attention even when he's not on the phones.
Yeah.
Oh, that's very true. It's like being married for so long, you know.
Yeah, well, that's...
In one ear, out the other.
I hereby decree the divorce between John Lightning and Mike the Joke Man.
That's it, and then we go...
And also, you don't have to worry about any BF-free sections that you might get stuck in.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
To me, that's a win-win scenario. Just regarding the glorious capability, ability to watch ball games you used to, without shit in every corner of the field, without a bug here with the station name and here's the score constantly, and here's drink blats, and over here they're flashing what's going to be coming up next, you know, these animated things that I fucking hate. But we will not stop them by stopping watching this shit. When I'm watching a TV show, particularly first one on a network, and they come back from commercial, and in effect you're watching another commercial, a promo comes up, generally in the lower left hand portion of the screen for what's coming up next, and they're animated and moving and swirling.
That's the way it used to be. It used to come on, put on a thing, and in the corner where they usually have just the logo for the station, Animal Planet, what it is, and there would be this little animated thing just in the corner. But it's not like that anymore. Now when they do it, the bottom, like, see that
the whole
on
screen.
Your screen, the black part.
Yeah, but nobody else can. That's
well,
listening.
But you know, that whole section of the bottom thing, they come in with these huge animated
it's
things.
It's a 2
and
second
in some
preview.
Cases, you know. It might be blocking out, like, part of the credits. If a show is coming on and they're showing you who's on the show, you know, the guest stars and everything, a lot of times some of that stuff is blocking.
Well, this all began when they started shrinking the credits to postage stamp size so that you don't know what... You know, you've actually lost the ability to watch the credits. Not that most people care, but the credits should be viewable, at least for those who are involved. Yeah. And perhaps more importantly, theme songs and all that now have been excised into irrelevancy because they're doing all these talk-ups and promos over them.
Yeah, but what he's talking about is, like, you got a 3-second... preview in miniature with cropped in effects moving across from one side to the other, you know, like on when BBC America to say
are they doing it too?
Yeah, when they promote the fact that they're doing the Robin Hood series, you'll start on one side and you'll see the guy shoot the arrow goes across the screen, lands inside a target which turns into the new BBC America logo, which is red, white, and blue A.
God, if we can't escape that watching the BBC, we're truly doing this. And this is one of the reasons, at least for me, legitimately, really, honestly, why I watch less TV, because I refuse to watch myself. I refuse to watch TV that insults me by putting all this debris on the screen. It's you know, advertisement, of course, is expected. There is no TV without advertisement.
Yeah, but you know. When that happens, it's like it's ridiculous because now they're not only advertising between scenes, they're advertising over the scenes.
Advertising while the programming is in progress is just not acceptable. And it's standard procedure now for just about every cable network. They come out of commercial and here comes the promo over the live action. I fucking hate it, and I generally respond, and I do, I generally respond, unless it's something I really want to see, by turning it off, by turning it the fuck off, by going to anything else. It's my way of saying up yours, but obviously not enough of us are doing it.
Well, you know, I should actually be writing complaint letters to everybody because when they do cutaways, for example, on any of the NBC Universal cable networks by Time Warner, when they cut back, it's always like a half a second late. So you're hearing the sound, but your picture for one instant is all checkerboards until it stabilizes.
Well, that's a computer problem. What the fuck are you going to do about that?
It's the timing problem. It's starting half a second late and coming back half a second or full second late.
Right.
What they've done at those networks is they made the breaks instantaneous into the program. If you're using a DVR going frame by frame, you see what they're doing.
Oh, it's
impossible for a local cable company to cut in and cut out that fast.
Of course. Not that I'm particularly concerned about that. But I am concerned about how buggy they've gotten with our programming and how, you know, I remember, for example, when country music television was still around before it morphed into Spike, they had this innocuous, almost invisible logo in the corner of the screen. It was kind of transparent. So it was there, it was visible, but it was yeah, almost like it wasn't there. It was acceptable to me, very acceptable. And then before they morphed into Spike TV, it got a lot more visible, and then it started blinking, and then it started flashing. It became an impediment. It became a distraction. There's no reason for that. All you need, I understand with 500,000 channels available, you wanting to have some kind of bug on the screen that will allow people to instantly note what it is. Almost acceptable, but it doesn't have to be huge, and it doesn't have to be flashing and spinning. And one more thing. Because so much programming these days is in that widescreen format, there's no fucking reason to have it anywhere else but in the black bar section of the screen. But they always manage to place it so that it overlaps into the main screen. You know what? Fuck you all for doing that.
Yeah, but just realize, when everything goes high definition, it's going back in the middle of the picture anyway. The only thing you can hope for is that they're going to keep it so far over the edge that when you get a converter and you set it to see only the middle of the frame instead of those two extra edges, that you edit most of it out. That's the only you could hope. Honestly.
If they wanted to do the right thing and make the high-def experience everything it should be, those bugs would never appear anywhere except in those blocked-out sections, in those black areas of the screen. And there's no reason not to do that. There's no other action there. Why not? And I'm sure right after they finish doing that, then will come the spinning, screaming ads and the promos.
But the point is, it's only going to be in the blacked-out areas on a standard TV. On high definition, there's no blacked-out areas. It will be in the picture, whether you like it or not.
Yeah. What I wanted to say before was,
We're through now.
The thing about the little promo things we were talking about, watching, say, Animal Planet or Discovery or whatever,
they
go into commercial, and during that 2.5 minutes or whatever it is of commercials, they show promos for coming up shows. Then, when they go back to the show, then they put up those things on the screen, and it's the same promo for the same show that they showed during the commercial block.
Right. Well, that's what they consider to be necessary reinforcement. You know, obviously, it's like, how many times are you watching a station and they run a commercial and the commercial plays, they go to the next commercial, and then out of that commercial comes the same commercial that you saw 60 seconds before. That is not accidental.
No, there's something else that you got to remember when you're dealing with cable, is that they may be showing those promos on the network, the cable network, but a lot of the cable companies are doing local ads. So they got to make sure you see it. All right? So that's why it'll be repeated as a 3-second bug that's animated from one side to the other side. That's the whole idea. It's not so much the reinforcement.
It really destroys the...
It does.
Your desire to view, but you know, somebody has to pay the bill, and that's why I've been watching on the internet, where whoever is paying the bill, I don't have to suffer through their commercials, which once again I guess makes it kind of a form of theft. All right, I understand you could TiVo it or DVD it and race through the commercials that way still, as many people do, unless it's a real good commercial. But I am so tired of this having become the norm, but it's all over the industry. Now that I download and listen to radio shows on the internet, excuse me, what's the difference? As you know, I like to listen to a couple of shows, Lionel in particular. At least I get to hear a couple hours of his show every week. And when I download the file, I look at the size of it. Each hour of his show, once the news and the commercials and the promos have been excised, are less than 40 minutes.
Right.
So he's on the air 3 hours every night. Actually, he's on the air less than an hour and a half every night.
You got to realize a lot of that extra time that's been taken out for the commercial breaks, that's in his union contract. You're not going to work a full hour. you know, you're going to work.
Absurd. Absurd.
40 minutes.
You're getting paid. For God's sakes, you know, how many, don't get me started with how many hours we work here for nothing.
Yeah.
Motherfucker.
Getting back to that TV thing where a lot of that animation is that comes over the opening credits. It's when it's a rerun show.
I generally see it over the closing credits, opening
well,
credits.
No, opening.
The opening credit, you all right. You got the opening.
What stations you guys watching?
You got the teaser and maybe a couple of scenes. Then you got the opening show, the stars. You got your first offset. Then you come into the story with the guest stars and the assorted recurring players' names being appeared on the screen. What happens is that on networks, they're very careful with this. They don't run their little logos and their animated stuff over this on first-run shows, especially. I did see NBC screw up the other night, however.
I doubt it was a screw-up.
No, it was a screw-up. It was coming over credit names, the stars. It's not supposed to happen.
Yeah,
the union says it's not supposed to happen, so it was a screw-up. But when it comes down for a rerun on USA or something, and it happens, who cares?
Why does the union care? The names that are up on the screen are unreadable now. Even with high def and big screen,
the
they're barely
yeah,
readable.
Well, that's not the opening.
No, they squeeze them and squash them, and they run them at such high speed.
Oh, no. You see, that's because...
Yeah, in the open, but I mean the show closed.
The show closed. It says they have to be there, but they never said they had to be readable.
Huh.
You see, the union didn't put its foot down.
Yeah, it's like the disclaimers at the end of the commercial where the guy's reading it so fast that they speed it up digitally, he can't understand a damn thing.
That's right.
That's Sting, D-I-N-G. Thank you.
Well, that's the whole idea. It has to be there legally, but that doesn't mean you have to understand what he's saying. But they'll say, he said it, so if you get it wrong, that's your problem.
That's right. You know what you have to do, folks? You have to T-vote for yourself. Slow it down.
That's what I do.
Well, look at this, folks. 11:25. Bill Maher gives you that extra 6 or 7 minutes of overtime, and they think they are giving you a big fucking deal. When you listen to us on the internet, you get some real overtime and some interesting and serious discussion. And maybe even learned a couple of things tonight. I'd like to, in the weeks to come, I'd like to discuss the internet, the using that thing, the... news groups a little more, because I've really been scared of the possibility of losing this service for a long time. I feel it's coming. And I think the main reason why this is not discussed on the air is not because it's unimportant or because people might not find it interesting, even though most people are still not familiar with the Usenet, is the fact that most of the people that would do these shows are people using those services, and they don't want it discussed on the radio. I have concerns about discussing it on the radio where it might get people to start thinking about this, and the people in question are the RIAA and the other organizations that are losing revenue because of these services. Let me tell you, I work with people. You know, I'm like, I'll go into work tomorrow, and I know one or two of my fellows are going to come up to me, or other people there, and they're going to throw a data disk at me and say, hey, can you transcode this for me? Meaning make it into a regular DVD.
Right.
And it's going to be some movie, generally a good quality download of a movie that might have just come out last week. And they're all not cam versions. It's amazing what gets out there. And somebody's going to toss me a movie or something that just came out because they want it made into a regular DVD. And before you know it, one way or the other, there are going to be regular DVDs of this shit going all around. Now,
right.
You know what? You could say, well, you know, you're just sharing it with your friends. At least, you know, you're not making copies and selling them out on the street. You're not, you know, one of those recent immigrants from the People's Republic of Ungats spreading out a towel on the corner of 5th and 48th Street and selling them for $5 or $10 a pop. But you know what? It's no less illegal, Pally.
That's right. You know, a lot of these people, a lot of the movies you see, they may be fed, say, as courtesies to networks by private satellite links, not necessarily in the clear, but they're bootlegging the satellite receiver, getting the movie in studio quality, or especially TV shows on their pre-feeds
right.
without any of those bugs and logos.
And of course, the other way this is done is promotional copies that are sent out to reviewers in stores.
That's right.
They, most of them will have something coming across the bottom of the screen and sometimes in the middle of the screen every 50 minutes or so. This is loan for promotional purposes. But you know what? Minimally impacts upon your viewing pleasure.
That's right.
When you're getting to see something at home. You don't have to go out to the movie theater. You haven't had to buy it. You're seeing it first run, perhaps before everybody else, and you have to suffer through that big fucking deal.
Who cares?
Yep. Damn right. Thank you all again for staying with us for overtime. And don't forget, overtime is free for you, but it ain't free for those of us that are paying for the bandwidth. Those of us means me. It doesn't mean anybody else. It means me. So as a certain gentleman from Manhattan likes to say, yes, break open those saddlebags. You're listening to us on the internet now. No reason you can't waltz on over to johnlightning.com and use PayPal, as a couple of you did last week, and I don't have your names in front of me. But as always, thank you more than you could possibly know for helping out. Because if every one of you listening did, for a month or two, I wouldn't have to pay this bill. That's about what it would come down to, but it sure as heck would make a difference. So go use our PayPal link, unless you find this programming that disposable, in which case, why the hell are you listening, huh? Thanks once again. Any last words, gentlemen?
Nope.
Good night.
All right, you all. Thank you, and good night.